Welcome to Dream Business Radio, the place to create your dream business now. Get ready for some inspiration, some encouragement, some proven business building strategies, and a couple of new ideas
that you haven't even thought of.
It's time to leave Slow and Steady as She Goes to the other entrepreneurs, because this program is all about speed and fast results. And now, broadcasting from his floating home somewhere in the Atlantic Ocean, the dream business coach himself, Jim Palmer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another fantastic live episode of Dream Business Radio. I'm your host, Captain Jim Palmer, the dream business coach. This is episode 607, and this is the first of my final four shows. And this week and the next 3 weeks are going to be very, very special interviews, perhaps the best interviews we've ever done. No offense to the 606 people preceding, but each guest has been handpicked by me, who, because they've been such an inspiration, they've motivated me, pushed me, called me all kinds of names on some occasions, but they are proven entrepreneurial superstars in my world. And again, they've played a role in my success. And so I'm going to bring them to you, ask them some really good questions. So you're going to get some nuggets, but it's also my chance to say thank you. This week, my very special guest is one of the most successful entrepreneurs and talented marketers I literally have ever met and have had the pleasure to work with and mastermind with. Adam Urbanski has built an amazingly successful coaching business, and he's both creative and, in my world, fearless. I don't know if he's got fear. He never shows it to me, but I'm proud to call him a friend. Adam, how you doing today?
Fantastic. And Captain Jim Palmer, it's so awesome to be here. And I've got a first question for you. It's called Dream Business Radio. Why are we in video?
Well, I'm going to get to that. I learned from a very talented marketer how video is so powerful, and it's the other side of the screen here. But anyway, hey, folks, I'm going to introduce Adam, but I'm going to use his short bio because we have half an hour, and I literally want to maximize the time we have with this brilliant man. So here's his short little bio. Known worldwide as the Millionaire Marketing Mentor, Adam Urbanski is the go-to guy for successful expertpreneurs who want to speed up their seven-figure growth and simplify their business. Adam's fastest path to cash system, slight tongue twister, helps them turn their annual income into their monthly income, quite a promise, without complex funnels, big launches, or expensive advertising. So Adam, I kind of fancy myself. I'm a fairly creative marketer. I think I'm a massive action type driven entrepreneur, but I want to give credit where credit is due, starting right now. When I started out in the coaching business, well, I'm not even going to say my first 3 years, nothing to sneeze at, but when I started getting serious, I think around 2012 or so, there were three coaches, because I'm always about who can I study that's done it well. I studied you, I studied Melanie Benson, I studied James Malinchak, and you know, from the sidelines as a newbie, admiring what I considered three rock stars in the space, I'm honored and privileged to call you. All three of you today are my friends and have just been a really important part of my entrepreneurial journey. I think it's fair to say that we've all pushed each other to higher levels of success. You and Melanie and I, and I think three or four other people, we started this very private rockstar mastermind group several years ago. We agreed not to talk about it, not to call each other out, but that was pretty fun. So anyway, Adam, there's a few people who may not be familiar with your work. So just give the short version. I mean, obviously with your accent and that beard, you weren't born in this country and you came here and you started the restaurant business. Tell us the short version, if you would.
Wow. Short version. Coming to US with $194, didn't speak English, had a hotel paid for 10 days. Fast forward a decade later and I sold my seven-figure multi-unit chain of restaurants, small coffee shops, bagel shops. That's the short version.
There you go. And you went from there. And after you sold them, you sort of stumbled into coaching, found out you were good at it. But I know there were some building blocks along the way. But you started.
I think that's a really good first lesson maybe to share. Okay. Because here's the thing. You know, I exited the restaurant business, even though it was fantastic. I kind of had a bigger vision for myself. So maybe that's one lesson, right? What's your vision? And if something isn't satisfying to you at the moment, it's perhaps because your vision is too small. And I sold it to go into a different business with partners, which didn't pan out. But when you know, coaching did not exist in 2000. Sort of, really. If you told somebody you were a coach, they would ask you, what do you coach? Soccer, football, you know, baseball, little league, what do you do? Life coaching, business coaching wasn't known as it is today. Consulting was. But here's my first lesson, like really big lesson for an entrepreneur. I started hanging out with other consultants, and no offense to all the amazing people out there. What I noticed is they were really good at doing what they were doing for other companies. They walked in to work with a company, they were making magic happen, but they could not grow their own business. And it was just mystifying to me. So I looked around, I looked at my local association or gathering of consultants, who were the people at the top, like the leaders of the group, and what they drove and where they lived. I'm like, wait a second, these guys are not it. And they noticed what they talk about, and they talked about, how do I get better at consulting? And they would figure out little mystifying methods. And I went, no, folks, the way you grow your business is you market and sell. You market and sell. So, you know, I started hanging out with people who were talking more about business growth, marketing, and selling, less about the mechanics of the actual thing. So most consultants, coaches, entrepreneurs, they want to be the best plumber. They want to be the best whatever. And they really don't start the business with an idea, I want to be the best at marketing and selling my business. But that's what they should be focusing on.
And that is the turning point. You know, so fast forwarding, and sometimes when I'm trying to remember things, I either go with songs or how old my kids were. But I know this was before I moved on the boat, so it's at least 7 years ago. I'm going to say 8 or 10 years ago, you started your group coaching program. You probably had some before that. And I think it preceded what is now Revenue Rev Up. But one of the ways you got yourself out there as a content marketer and getting yourself exposed to potential members and coaching clients was, in my world anyway, you were the first person that I ever saw do a multi-camera live broadcast. Was before StreamYard. I mean, we're broadcasting on 2 Facebook pages. We're broadcasting on LinkedIn. It's pretty easy right now. But you had, I think, whether you used your phone, you had a camera, you had your laptop, and you had that whole setup with your banners behind you. And you'd come on, and I'm like, what the hell? How's he doing all this? And you'd talk to everybody. Hey, you know, Facebook, my group, and you'd say probably, I forget what the other platforms are, but you taught for about 5 minutes on something really juicy. And then you said, okay, we're going to cut here and here. I'm going to really go deep on this. I got a couple of handouts for my members. If you're interested in joining, just, you know, you get information here. And this camera went off, and now you are coaching your members. I'm like, gosh, dang it, that is brilliant. Like, talk about whetting the appetite of potential members. How did that come about?
You know, talk about squeezing lemonade out of lemons. So I don't even know if you know the actual story behind this.
No.
So I had an event that just did not sell well, right? So I probably had, you know, I had a room for 150 people in a hotel. And you know what the cost for that is. I had everything booked out and paid for. So I was probably out about, this is now 2011-ish, 12-ish, something like this.
Yeah.
And again, I think that we need to put it in context, which is video was not what it is today. Like multi-camera broadcasts, it was not easy to do. So I'm out about 20 grand already for the hotel. And literally about 2 weeks before, I've got, I don't know, 10 people sign up to come to my event. Due to my own fault, not enough marketing, not enough visibility. I was distracted. I'm like, what do we do with this? You know what? Why don't we turn it into an exclusive event for those few folks? And I hooked up with someone else who said, hey, I can do this. I can broadcast this online for you. Can you bring in 200-300 people online? I'm like, online, I can do that. And I actually think, we sold it for like $100 online, if I remember correctly. But here's the thing. This guy sits with me, you know, has a phone conversation back then and says, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it well. It's going to be $25,000. And I just like swallowed hard and went like, I'm already 20 grand plus out in a hotel. I don't have people coming in. I've got to like refocus all the promotions to this virtual thing, which no one knows what the hell it is. Mm-hmm. And on the top of that, I'm going to pay him 25 grand up front. Right? I'm like, man, this is going to hurt. But I did it. And Jim, in this 3-day thing, we ended up doing, I think, somewhere around $350,000
Wow.
And so he was, you know, he had the room, he had a studio, he had a professional TV broadcast studio. And kudos where kudos is due. You know, I was smart to hire the guy, but he was just phenomenal and at knowing how to bring it in. And yeah, we had six cameras. Like, no one does it with six cameras. It's crazy. I think it's like Tony Robbins stuff today, right?
Yes, yes.
Like, he was really good at going like, hey, you talk to this camera now and talk to me. Talk to one person. All right, now talk to this camera and talk to many people at once. I was like, man, that is awesome, right? And he was, I had a little feedback monitor. He was telling me on the feedback what's going on, feeding me questions from the audience. I think you popping out some comments from the audience as well, mm-hmm. right? So I could actually speak to someone who just posted a comment online, and I could look at the camera and go, hey, Susie, to speak to your question, I think it's a phenomenal thing. Let me tell you what I would do. And suddenly Susie, which I don't know from Adam, like I don't know where she's dialing in from or watching, but she feels like she's part of it. So that was awesome. Thanks for reminding me about that. I totally forgot.
Your name's Adam. Are you allowed to say, I don't know him from Adam? That's no, funny.
That's pun intended. Absolutely. That's the best thing.
So you, I'm going to skip ahead because I want to cover some other stuff. But since we're on live events, you were one of the people who showed me the power of these live events. I came to some of yours. I went to James Malinchek's events. Yeah. I went to Melanie's event. And, you know, it's not necessarily the kind of event. Like, I went to GKIC. Sometimes they had like 1,500 people. I went to some other events that had even a couple thousand, 3,000 people. But you were focused on doing whether it was 50 or 100, 150. Yeah. And you just maximized that as good as anybody I've seen. So when I started doing my events, I said the maximum was 50. Part of that, in full disclosure, was probably there's no way in the world more than 50 people are going to come see me. So that was probably my mindset. But, you know, I then realized how much money could be made by putting on a really good, well-orchestrated, profitable micro event.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree with you. And, you know, so like my goal was always around 100 people. 125 was kind of our sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there were, you know, we never actually broke $1 million. That was never my goal. But we came pretty darn close to $1 million out of an audience of, you know, 125 people in the room. And so I let the audience do their own calculations in their minds, right? How profitable it can be. And what I loved about it is actually there are two lessons. One, I think my first four or five events, I could not, maybe even like first six events, I could not break beyond 40 people. Just no matter what I did, I couldn't bring 40 people into the room. And then I realized that it was all my own mindset. I had a need that dictated that I need to know every person in the room. And I need to, as I teach 3 or 4 day event, I need to speak to each person individually and customize my lessons to them. Like that was in my head, that's the only way to do it well. And then when I was able to shift it, I still remember the first event, we had 100 people in the room, someone walking up to me and introducing themselves, and I didn't know them from Adam. And I was like, wow, look at that. Someone signed up for my event. Back then, we sold tickets for $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 per seat. They wow. came in and, you know, invested that much, flew across the country for 3 or 4 days, and I did not know them. I was like, wow, that's magical. But then the second part of it, why small audiences? I mean, you've seen our good friend, James Malinchek. He puts those big events. Mm-hmm. Kennedy World, big events. I mean, lots of marketing companies and gurus out there putting huge events. To me, that's so much logistics that it almost cannibalizes the reward for me. It's just too much effort for the payoff. I would rather keep it smaller. Yeah, maybe my payoff wasn't $3 or $4 or $5 or $10 million in the weekend, but I kept my sanity along the way and I could perpetuate this year over year.
Yeah, there's a lot to speak to that. Now, you invited me out to speak at one of your events in California. This is back when I was substantially growing. You're
flying on stage, man.
I'm growing No Hassle Newsletters. And one of our mastermind meetings, you know, we're talking about what works well. And I said, well, I've turned the newsletter guru into, you know, super newsletter guru. And I'm doing, you know, little cartoons or caricatures. I had the Superman thing ripping open my shirt. It said NG. And so I'm coming out to speak at your event. And you said to me, make sure you bring your cape. I said, I don't have a cape. It's marketing. You said, bring a cape. No, I think what you said is, Jim, bring a cape or I will embarrass you. Nine ways from Sunday. Something to that effect. So for $50, I got a silk cape. Now I'm going to, let me go here. I think we can
pull this on.
Yes, there we are. So that's you on the left before your big beard. You're holding the microphone. You just introduced me. That's Melanie filming. She's filming me with my camera, but she forgot to turn the camera on. So, and there I am. Adam, I don't know if you even know this, but I was so nervous because the super newsletter guru is not going to like walk up the aisle after you introduce me. So I wanted to make sure, and that's not like a 1 foot riser. That's easily 30 inches or something. So I'm like, I get there the day before and I meet the AV guy and I said, what time do you open in the morning? And he goes, well, it starts at like 8 or 9, but I'll be here at 6:30. I said, I'm going to be here at 6:30. I came down. I just woke up, came at 6:30. 3 or 4 times I ran from the back of the room because I wanted to jump up on, and I think, God forbid my feet catch and I face plants. So I practiced and I ran up there with my cape. So that's the story behind that, folks. That's kind of funny. Oh my God. But
and you know, the thing is, so it's like, and you wrote the book that says something like be scared, do it anyway type of thing.
Well, Just Say Yes. That my book was Just Say Yes.
Something, yeah, but you know, the lesson that comes to mind is like, yeah, practice, like obviously, so you practice to so it comes out good. But I still remember like introducing you and watching you even before and having our little chit chat in the back before that. And you were so nervous, right? The whole thing, like the escape thing was out of your comfort zone. This whole run on stage as a superhero was out of your comfort zone. You know, you did it anyway. And look at that, look at the story that you've got out of this years later.
You know, it is about two things. Well, it's about making connections, introducing yourself to a new audience. It's hopefully about making sales, but it's also about being memorable.
Yeah.
And I forget who I first learned that from, but being memorable. And sure enough, I'd be at different events and go, hey, you're the guy with the cape, at least 3 or 4 times, you know, within a year after I spoke at your event. So it's very powerful. So when is the last event you did? Were you doing them up until COVID or are you not doing those anymore?
No, I think I stopped in beginning of 2018 was my last one. And I only did it because I had tickets sold and I had to fulfill on it.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, I was already like end of 2017, I was done with events.
So, all right, I'm going to switch gears here because this is, first of all, so that's humongous game changer one that I give Adam a lot of credit for, which is pushing me into doing my own live events. That was, when I tell my own clients, that was the last, beast, devil, whatever that I had to slay. First, I got over public speaking, so I go out and speak. But then to put on your own event, as you said, you got to book the room, guarantee sleeping rooms. They expect you to spend so much on food and catering. But all of that, but you know, you and again, I'm going to mention James Malinchek said his first event was in like the basement of some hotel, and I think he had 12 people. Well, I had 42, so I said, okay, I'm off to a good start. Anyway, so let's switch gears because literally this was another big push from you, courtesy of you. When I started speaking, there was about 14 months. Went out 32 times around the country, a lot of GKIC events.
Wow.
And I added 100, 150 members to No Hassle Newsletters, which was a tremendous boost to my revenue. But then there got to be a point, and sometimes this happens when you're an entrepreneur, you're a little less hungry because you got more money coming in. I go, and on one of our calls, we're chatting. I said, man, I'm just so tired of the travel and, you know, the security. You get to the airport and you said, well, duh, Jim. Just stop traveling and start doing interviews on podcasts. That's what I'm doing. And it was just like a light bulb head slap moment. And I said, what do you mean? And I knew of podcasts. I don't even remember if this was before mine or not, but you said, I don't have to go away from home now. I do podcast interviews. So I make a connection with the host, whatever audience is there. And when I'm done, I'm still in my home and, you know, I don't have to do anything. Now, coincidentally, when you told me that, I think you've mellowed with age, by the way. My recollection anyway is you used to say things with such force. It kind of felt like you slapped me in the face. I don't think you got physical, but it was like you were so direct with me.
I've heard that a number of times, yes.
And I thank you for that. But anyway, that was right around the time that I hired my daughter, Jessica Rhodes, as my VA because she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom when she was pregnant with Nathan. I gave her many tasks, but one of them I said, yeah, Adam says I should be a guest on podcast. She said, well, let's figure that out. And together we kind of figured out how she was going to get me booked. She literally, in the first couple of years, I did, I think, almost 300 guest interviews. Wow. That's what literally another huge boon, not only to selling my books, but that led to my coaching program getting filled up. Of course, you know, unless you're under a rock, you know, Jessica Rhodes, as the founding member of Interview Connections, which literally she created the industry of podcast guesting. Yeah. So when did you make that connection, and how were you tired of traveling too, or how did you make that connection?
No, I think that we're actually, you know, my start with this, I'm trying to think, what actually came first, but someone somewhere started inviting me. And then again, need is the mother, or, you know, and I think necessity is the mother of invention. Yep. So we actually had one of our Rockstar Mastermind short-term member that before one of my live events, I said, you know, I want to make a round and just go and get on stages, or like virtual stages. And back then, there weren't quite podcasts. They were just kind of joint venture partner interviews. But I think she's booked me about 10 or 15 of those in a short amount of time. And I went like, huh, that's pretty powerful. And then I actually hired someone else, and they booked me like 50. I actually asked for 40 over a course of 1 year. And she ended up booking me 40 podcast interviews in 90 days. And I was like, wow, that's a little nutty, because it's like you start doing a lot of them. And it cuts into your time. But that was kind of a discovery. I'm like, I don't have to go anywhere. Just be in the comfort of my own office. A lot of them weren't on video back in the day. They were just audio, right? Video wasn't as it is today. So I don't even have to roll out of bed and comb my hair. I can just be, you know,
fun. Yeah, like that was ever an issue.
At one point, it was an issue. Come on. I was born this way, and then, you know, I'm this way again. And there was a short time in between when I did use a comb.
Okay.
But anyway, that was the story. That was the story. And, you know, I realized how powerful it is. And I cannot tell you how many people I turned on to this. And you probably learned the same lesson. There are two, if you're not doing this, you're missing out on two really valuable sources of connection. So one is actually connection with the host of the interview.
Yeah.
Right. You always end up doing a little bit of before, maybe a little bit of after. If you do it the right way, most of the hosts become some sort of connection. You deepen connection with kind of who is who in the industry eventually. And the second thing, they introduce you, they trust you with their audience. And that's huge, because you never know who's listening to them, who's in that audience. So Jessica, oh my God.
There she is. Another superstar. She's going to wrap. She's going to round out this final four. So can't wait to interview
her. I want to know in Jessica's story, am I introduced kind of like as a godfather of a program or something? Yeah. Mythical figure.
Every time she comes to visit, first thing she asks me, hey, Dad, have you talked to Adam Urbanski? No, not really. I'm just kidding. So Adam, you know, let's talk to, I want to talk about what you're doing now. Now, is revenue rev up still the big thing, or I mean,
that is still my big thing. So again, necessity, mother of invention, you know, kind of a quick, I don't even know where to go with this, but you know, there was a year, and I think it was about 2015, 2016, where again, I was just kind of being done with events. It's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And I noticed also a trend, you know, I did really well. We spend good money on marketing, on advertising, and driving people to webinars and driving them to conversations. I had a small sales team. And I remember bragging to friends how little I work and how much I make. But there was one thing that I always talked about that that started to become an issue for me. And what I talked about is that I can always wake up in the morning, look myself in the mirror, and I feel good, right? I don't owe anybody anything. I deliver on my promises. And I started noticing, like, I make good money, but the success stories in our program were just not as big and as frequent as they used to be. And I'm like, you know, something just doesn't feel right. And with all advances in technology, I noticed two things. One, I myself created like 24 different courses, and now we had to launch and promote them. Not enough time. Second, mm-hmm. our clients were just so confused, which platform I use, you know, which marketing path I use. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done with this. So I literally stopped marketing for almost a year, Jim. Phased out all my programs, hit all the courses, delivered with all the clients we had. And I'm like, okay, what do I do next? I seriously consider getting out of marketing and mm-hmm. doing something else. And then I said, you know what? Let me analyze like our best clients, what worked for them. And we distilled it to pretty much four different things that they focused on. And that's so I structured the program around this, launched it, And my goal was to help people make $10,000.
Okay.
And out of 10, our initial test group, we had 10 people. Two ended up doing over 100 grand. Seven did over 40, like 40, 50, 60, 70. One did zero. And I'm like, wow, 1-0 for 10. That's not bad.
Sure. Right?
Let's see. Maybe I just got lucky. Let's do it again. Almost identical results. Two people over 100 grand. Most did around 50, 60. One flatline. I'm like, you know, once is lucky, twice is a fluke. Let's see if we can do it one more time. And the third group, we just knocked it out of the park. I think we had like four or five out of the group of 10 that did over six figures. And one person still flatlined. I don't know. That's just like, you know, somehow I can't overcome that. But, you know, essentially, I figured what's the shortest, fastest path to cash for clients that simplify everything they do. And we realized that when people come to us roughly making around 100, maybe just under 100 grand a year, we can pretty much help them make that in a quarter. And that became our thing. So we now actually we're running group 30, 43. I'm about to run group 44. And that's it. The rest is history.
That is phenomenal.
Here's something else. In the process, I ditched my email of almost 50,000 subscribers. I've not emailed email promotion in almost 8 years. We just recently, at the end of last year, turned advertising back on because I want to scale beyond where we are at. And organic only won't do. But all of those years running our own seven figures, we've launched multiple seven-figure businesses for our clients, all of that organic.
We got about 4 minutes, and I've got one more question, and then I want to save a couple of minutes. I'm going to do a big reveal here. People that have been following me for a while know there's a story that I've told, but I've told it anonymously. I'm going to not break confidence because that's what we're doing here as I wrap up. So let me ask the question first. For entrepreneurs who are maybe new, maybe they're in struggle mode, cash flow-wise, mindset-wise, what advice would you give them about attracting the right kind of clients? And two, because you mentioned it so many times, about coming up with a bigger vision than simply where you are now.
Yeah. So I'll give you an advice. Jim, is it okay to give a resource out?
You can 100% do whatever you want.
So look, if people find me, usually the best place to find me is social media. So Facebook, my Facebook, Adam Urbanski, find me there. DM me and I'll hook you up with a dream business design formula, kind of appropriate, you know, naming on the podcast. It's just my gift to you and I'll walk you through the process. But if you're in this place where you need to sort of attract the right clients, look, simplify everything. Ditch the arm length technology and start talking to people. And show up teaching and giving value. Connect with people to A, discover what's really going on for them. B, leave them with something of value. And C, connect with resources. And only very, very remotely, D, invite them to explore doing business with you when appropriate. That's really it. Most people avoid talking to others, and that's what I struggle.
So many people, Adam, that are in struggle mode are relying on email alone. And to me, it's like, if you're an email rock star, maybe you get a 10% deliverability. What if you get 20? It's kind of unheard of, right? But that means 80% of the people who know you aren't hearing from you. I'm not getting results because you're not talking to 80% of your people. Anyway, oh my gosh, that is so huge. Okay.
Look, here's a tip. If you're getting a subscriber a day right now, every time you get a subscriber, crank up a little Loom video or like do your phone and say, hey, Jim, just noticed you subscribed to my email. I'm so excited you're my new subscriber. Thanks for being on my list. I know it doesn't scale. Do that and watch people reply to you. Go like, oh my God, you actually recorded the message for me.
I love it. So Adam, I tell a story and you may have even seen it. I've talked about it for years in blog posts and all different kind of things. I call it my most embarrassing moment as an entrepreneur. And basically, I have really had to summon the courage to join this mastermind with some high-level rock stars, several of them in the coaching space. Well, if you've been with me for this whole half hour, you now know that our confidence has been broken up by Adam and Melanie and a couple other people that I haven't gotten their permission, so I'm not going to out them. But we're in this high. I went to this first mastermind meeting feeling like I am the lowest man on the totem pole. I am the least smart, least aggressive. And I kind of said, this is what I'm doing. I got No Hustle newsletters, No Hustle social media, went on, blah, 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 blah. And I'm starting a coaching program, and this, and it's okay. And I went on, and I'm kind of getting my courage up as I think about all the stuff I'm naming. And then one of the members of the mastermind says to me on a break, which I always describe as the saving grace. It wasn't in front of everybody, but on a break, this coach comes over to me and says, Jim, I'm happy you want to grow your coaching program, but I have a question for you. I know what you're doing, all the different ways you're trying to grow your coaching business, Jim, but I'm also aware of the things you're not doing. And the question I have for you is this. How is it you think you're entitled to achieve the same level of success as other coaches, perhaps me, some of the other people in the room, yet you're not willing to do the things that we do? How does that work for you? I've always kept that secret, but that was you, Adam Urbanski. And I must have turned 50 shades of red, like fire engine red. My ears were on fire hot. And I'm like, I don't even know. I blocked it out from my memory like a bad childhood beating or something, which I never got. But I flew home. And I was like, that will never happen again. And that's when I got into Dale Carnegie. I got into Toastmasters. I went to hypnosis. I did everything I could to get over my fear of public speaking. I started going out and speaking. I then conquered my fear of my own live events. I'm proud to say, and not unabashedly, because you dwarf me, but I've sold millions of dollars of coaching because of those fears that I overcame. And a lot of that I owe to that brash guy who got in my face, and his name, folks, is Adam Urbanski. All and these years.
Old Jim, I don't even remember saying that.
I'm sure you don't. I mean, it was a non-event for you. You were just being kind to a fellow mastermind member. And you said, and you asked me, I think it was a sincere question. I don't think you were meant to make me feel like a piece of crap, but that I had to go, how do I think I'm going to achieve? In my world, I said, I'm going to be successful, but I can't do this. So I'll go all the way around here. And you said, that isn't reality. And it caused me to tackle the demons that were currently shortcutting the success that I enjoyed for the last, you know, umpteen years as a coach. And so thank you, my friend. Thank you for providing my most embarrassing moment as an entrepreneur. It's Adam, everybody.
You know, Jim, you really own all the credit for that. You know, I don't even remember that. I'm glad you took it the right way and didn't just go into a fetal position and go like, I'm not worthy, but instead you took it.
I quit.
Let's do something with it, you know? So that's really the mark of a great man. You took a punch, maybe it was, most likely wasn't intended, right? But he took the punch and you went like, all right, I got it. You knocked some sense into me. Let me know, go and do what needs to be done. That's it.
Thank you for being generous. I don't know if you can think of anybody, and you don't have to name anybody, but when you were starting out and you looked up to certain people, again, when I thought Melanie was kicking butt with her coaching program, you were doing tremendously well, Malinchek, and for me, as I look back, and I'm doing a lot of reflection this last year here, the people that I've met that I've become friends with and kind of we've helped each other, you're right there at the top of the list, Adam. I greatly admire you, respect you, and thank you for coming on. And finally, please give that resource again, because I completely forgot after I've outed you now.
Yeah, just DM me on social media, on Facebook, ideally. Okay. That's where I see messages the most. Or Instagram, anyway, DM me, just say Dream Business Design Formula. And it's about 30-minute recording that walks you through the process of really crafting good offers, but very importantly, organizing what you are really good at and passionate about into something that when you offer it to people, they're very likely to say yes to your invite.
Awesome. Adam, thank you so much. It's been so much fun connecting with you again. I'm really admiring also the length of which you're able to grow facial hair. I'm
crazy what we can do in our older days. Jim, it's been a pleasure. Look, it's been an honor to call you a friend and a privilege. I really appreciate you giving me a lot of kudos and accolades on this call. The older I grow and the longer my beard grows, to realize, you know, all of us, we're just vessels. And stepping stones on other people's journey as well. So hopefully that message encourages other people like, hey, roll up your sleeves, do the work, just show up every day, do 600 plus episodes of podcasts, and you'll be just like Captain Jim Palmer.
There you go. Oh, folks, that wraps up a very special interview. I don't know how we're going to top this, but I'm sure Melanie will take it to the next level next week. I think it's Melanie. Yes. Anyway, I could be wrong, but next week's interview will be just as good. And, you know, thank you to my very special guest, my mentor, serial entrepreneur, Mr. Adam Rabansky. You can connect with me if you still want to for 6 months at getjimpalmer.com. I suppose I'll leave the website up, but anyway, I'm going to be driving this big rig all over the country. But that's it. Until this time next week, another fantastic interview. I am Captain Jim Palmer, the Dream Business Coach. You take good care.
Now it's time to go implement what you've learned. Great ideas are nice, but results only happen through action and implementation. So stay focused. Kick all distractions to the curb.
Sleep a little less if you have to.
And create your dream business now so you too can live your dream lifestyle. To learn about building your dream business, join Jim's free Dream Business Facebook community at dreambizgroup.com. That's dreambizgroup.com. See you next week for more Dream Business Radio.